Last week in John chapter 8, man, my heart was ministered to, man, when them religious leaders are trying to, you know, mess up Jesus. He's teaching the Bible, and they brought that lady taken in adultery. Just a beautiful story of, you know, they laid her out like naked and exposed and told the whole group of people there that this woman was taken the very act of adultery. And, you know, it says Moses' law says that she should die. Jesus began to write on the ground, and we found out that Jesus, what he wrote on the ground was the verse that talks about somebody taken in adultery. And of course, Jesus made a great point to these religious leaders. Like, it's funny, I don't know how this worked out that you could catch somebody in the act, but the Bible clearly says the adulterer and the adulteress should both be brought forth and they both should die. You just bring a lady. See, they were setting Jesus up. They were claiming to know the law, and yet they were disobeying it. So Jesus wrote it on the ground, and it says one by one they begin to leave. And the last person left was a lady exposed and condemned, caught in her sin right in front of him. Jesus says, "What man? Who condemns you now?" And she said, "No man, my Lord." He said, "Neither do I." And he told her to go. He set her free. The religious leaders called him teacher. The great teacher, right? Hey, master. Because he was there teaching the Bible. Notice this lady, the adulterous lady, she addresses the Lord not as a teacher. She calls him Lord. Meaning, you are the owner, and I will put myself under your submission. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. A lot of people say Jesus is a great teacher or a great prophet. He must become more than that. This is personal. We're not talking about religion here. We're really talking about a relationship. I know that's kind of odd, to a relationship with somebody that you cannot see. I get it, man. There is a lot of strangeness to it for sure. But he has given us this word, and he wants a working relationship with you and with me. So last week's message was money, man. I love that passage. But I want you to know we're going to finish out the rest of John chapter 8. And guys, it don't end. Jesus Christ begins to talk to these religious leaders. And by the way, these are the people that gave Jesus trouble. Religious people. Religious people are the grossest people on the planet. Religious people, like, they like to set up rules. They like to set up standards that usually are not even in the Bible. This is what godliness should be and what it looks like, and do this and don't. And guys, and I remember I was part of a church, and like, to do certain things, to be a teacher there, you had to sign a covenant, an agreement. And they're like, "You won't do this. Won't, you know, ladies had to wear dresses because that's godly, you know." You know, like, no, you got to, had to sign a piece of paper saying you wouldn't go to the movie theaters. You know, I'm just like, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not your teacher, you know. And but my wife had to sign it to be a teacher to do that. She says, "I'm okay with that. She'll do it." But the problem is they set up these standards, and you know what these people do. You know, it's kind of like, I have some friends that live on the other side there in Burlington, and they belong to a church that has all these rules. It's a bunch of religion, rules and regulations. And one of the rules they have is you can't pay for entertainment. So he had some of his kids play football, and he would go and stand outside the fence from a distance and watch. Couldn't see hardly a thing, but he wouldn't pay. His daughter actually met Jesus Christ, and after meeting Jesus, she's ready to get baptized. And they said, "You know, when your hair gets long enough that we can put it up in a bun, then we'll baptize you." And they're like, "What's that have to do with it?" "Well, we don't want her, like, hair, you know, coming out of the water, not to be up." You know, like, he's like, "I don't get it." They didn't get it either, but that was just a rule they put in place, you know. It was a sad, sad story. You know, and he kept telling me one thing after another. One guy that went to their church told me, he said, "Yeah, we went to the movies over in, like, Iowa City." I'm like, "What are you driving that far for? There's like a movie theater right there in Burlington. It's close by your house." And he said, "Well, in our church, we signed a covenant saying we wouldn't go to the movies." So now you're sneaking and hiding. Now, what sense does that make? That's what religion does not make sense. And half the people that set up religious standards, they cannot keep those standards themselves. And this is what Jesus constantly tells these religious people. Guys, there's a reason that we need Jesus Christ. Because none of us can keep our own standards. The Bible says even if one day you die, and just say nobody's even heard of the Bible or Jesus Christ, God will judge those folks by their own conscience. By their very own conscience, stuff that they'll say, I'll never do this, I'll never say that, I'll never... How many times have you said that, you know, like, and some of you had some rough parents to me, like, I'll never do what my mom did. Then all of a sudden you find yourself with your own kids, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I keep hearing my mother in me. Yeah. Yeah, you got these standards and you can't even keep those. We need a Savior. We need a hero, and the hero of the story is not me, it's not you, it's Jesus Christ. Religion sets you up as the hero. And you got to keep these standards. It's wonderful as long as you can keep them. You know? Don't it make you sick? People that go on these diets and lose weight, when you get around them, all they do is that's all they talk about. And all of a sudden, when they fall off the wagon, you can tell, you know why? They don't talk about it anymore. Because then all of a sudden they look guilty, you know? I'm like, my gosh. That's why I love Christianity, because it's meant to be a lifestyle. It's meant to be a relationship with the Lord. It's a lifestyle we develop. We don't come in and just flick on the light switch of ministry. Well, now we're going to sing songs to Jesus. But outside of this room, we'd never do that. Yeah, that's religion. That's not a relationship. That's why our music should be like an overflow of what we do. That's why we teach discipleship and getting God's word every day. Jesus is addressing these religious leaders, and one thing after another, he hammers down on them. Now we're in verse 31 of John chapter 8. And I love this at the very, very beginning. He says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, I want you to know that one of the number one things, notice, I read a book one time, great book. It's called, can't think of the name of the book. It's called Not a Fan. And this guy basically can compare it in the Bible like, don't just be a fan of Jesus. Be a follower of Jesus. There's a difference. Don't just know about him. Don't just, you know, it's kind of like having the baseball card. You know, I got a baseball card. Check this out. And Yogi Bear, my brother, had a card. Actually, had a little signed like photo of him. But my brother never met him, you know. We got information about him. We'd act like we did because we had a valuable card, you know, but never really met him. That's the difference. Jesus Christ, you can meet him. You can actually know him. He says here, Jesus says, those which believed, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. So check this out, gang. We don't want to just be fans of Jesus, but we need to be followers of Jesus. So what's it say here? Those Jews which believed. The first thing to be a disciple, you got to believe that Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's going to fix it to be the hero, going to give his life, take the sins of mankind, die for us, then resurrect from the grave. This is the gospel, the good news. So Jesus said, first of all, once you believe, but then check this out. And if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. You can always tell a follower of Christ because they what? They continue in the word. It's the number one mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I studied that word in the Bible, disciple, and I came up with the list. I got a list of 8 things that disciples of Jesus Christ are. It's just what they are. If you're one, there's byproducts, and this is it. But I want you to know the first one is, yeah, you're a believer, right? You believe in him, so that puts you in the family. But some of you in this room know Jesus, but you're not following him. You know how you follow him, don't you? This is the big key. Disciples of Jesus Christ continue in the word. So I just want you to mark this down. Disciples are always in the word. This is the mind of Christ, right? This is our relationship with him. This is how God's going to speak to you and me. A lot of people pray and they expect a God to speak through like their insides, like their conscience. And guys, that's just very dangerous depending on what you ate. It's dangerous on where your mindset's at. You might be in a funk and all of a sudden, you know, you hear, you know, people hear voice in their head and they think, that's the Lord speaking to me. God speaks out of his word. Back it up with the Bible. Disciples are in the word. He says it clearly. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, right? Revelation 19, it says, in his name, he's coming back on a white horse and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ in his mind. This is how he wants to speak to you. And this is why we need to be sanctified. We need to be astonished at His words. It's super important. If you're going to claim to follow Christ, then you've got to be in the Bible. Does everybody understand that? I think we push it around here a lot. By the way, not just get in the Bible, because disciples are in the Word, but the third thing I found out about disciples, they just don't get in the Bible, they obey it. I know some of us in this room, like, we know what the Bible says, but doing is it something? A lot of times people come in for, like, to talk or counseling or get some advice, and I always take them to the Word, and I can't tell you how many people just say, yeah, I know. I know. I do. Do it. And I know there's some discipline there. I get it. I get that for sure. But we got to be obedient to the Bible. In Luke 14, Jesus told the disciples, they wanted to follow Him, and He just says, hey, you better forsake all. I'm like, yeah, see, you forsake your will to obey His. Jesus Christ gave us that example in the garden where He said, God, I don't want to go through this. The crucifixion's come up. Not my will, though, but yours be done. I will obey your word. This is the mentality of a disciple. I don't care what people think. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what people at work say. I don't care what the world or this culture says. I am going to follow the Lord. I'm going to be in this book, and I'm going to obey this book. This is the difference maker. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians, and a lot of people don't know. You know why you can't spot them? Because they're not obeying the Bible. That's why. And they say the craziest things. You can tell just religious people by the things that come out of their mouth. You hear it, and you're like, that don't line up with the Bible. But they don't know. Follow the Lord. Follow Him. It's different than just being a fan. It's different than just saying, I love Jesus. You know, I pray every night before bed. Hey, good for you. But the Bible says disciples continue in His word. You continue there. This book, this is the book of truth, right? That's what John 17:17 says. Thy word is truth. Continue there. I love that word. I love the word continue. I really like it because basically He says, if you believe in Me, then He says what? You'll continue. That word continue means like you'll abide there. That's where you'll live. If you claim to know Jesus and that you've met Him, then remain there. Tarry in that place. We're here in church this morning. We're praying. We'll read the Bible together, discover what it says. We'll sing songs about Him. And some of you, when we leave this building, you will forget it and not do it again till next Sunday. That just tells me, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I can't judge that. God knows your heart. I will testify, though, that you don't follow Him. You're not a follower. You do what you want to do. It's like, well, no, I got to have church, man. Church is going to be a priority to me. Hey, church is a priority for me, too. But you know what? A relationship is a constant. To me, it's kind of like having a kid. You know, many of us in the room, like you would say, yeah, unfortunately, I had a marriage and a divorce, and now I don't get to see my kids all the time. Do you know how bad it hurts to not see your kids every day? To be able to, some dads or moms, you only get them every couple weekends. Stinks, don't it? Then you watch those parents, they got to try to buy love and be all that and make up for lost time. You're just like, man, it can't happen. No, it wasn't supposed to ever be that way. I'm not out here to shame you for being divorced or not being able to see your kids. That's not the whole point of the message. The point is the message, don't treat your Christianity that way. Don't just show up on Sundays and expect to have this great, you know, it's like I'm going to treat this girl, I'm going to treat my wife like garbage and not talk to her all week long, and then we're going to go dancing on Saturday night together. Drink a few, eat dinner, and dance. We'll slow dance together and have a great time. You know what's going to happen? Do that too many weeks in a row, and I'm going to say, well, sweetie, get ready. You about ready to go out? And she's going to say, I don't want to go. I would rather have you every night. I'd rather be able to speak and just have a decent relationship. I'm just telling you, the Lord is no different. Our relationship, continue in My word, then ye are My disciples. That word, continue. You know what it means? Be present. Hey guys, I want to help you with this morning. How daily to be present with the Lord. To daily, if you continue in My word, you're My disciples, right? Are you ready for some real practical? Let me give you some real practical stuff. Every day, here's what you do. and I'm going to just riddle these things. There's about four of them, but let me just riddle some things. You got to start with a proper attitude, right? A proper attitude. You can't be like, I guess I should read my Bible, because I know when I get with them guys, they're going to ask me. I guess I better do church reading. I'm going to do it. Somebody's going to ask me. Well, if you've asked to be held accountable, yes, they are going to ask you. But, you know, you need to have a proper attitude, because if it's a relationship, you know what that means? Hey, tomorrow morning when you get up, listen to me. The Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, God Himself, would love to speak with you. You know, you just think of like meeting a famous person. You know, like, hey man, some famous dude wants to speak to me. I'd just be like, me? For real? I wonder what he's got to say to me. That'd be strange, but it would almost be like, wouldn't it be an honor? We got this privilege. So listen, start every day with the proper attitude. God looks in the heart. What you do is expect God to speak to you. What's going on in your life right now?
Well, some of you are like, I got a bad relationship with my dad. You know, work's not going so well. My gosh, I'm going broke. I can't. Man, all this stuff. I'm struggling with my mental illness. All of it.
Then you expect God to meet you at that spot. You read His word, expect. Go to Him with reverence. This is the God of the universe, right? Reverence. Be alert. Wake yourself up. Get a cup of coffee. Read your shorts out in the cold. It's chilly in the mornings right now. It's just, seriously, be real simple about this and just have a proper attitude about it. So once you have a good heart attitude that God wants to say something to you in the morning, if you realize something might be said to you that morning that'll alter the course of your life, that's how God's, it's a living book. That's how God's word works. You get into it and I expect it. Most of us don't expect anything. You know what we expect? To check the box that I read. Guys, it's not about reading. I can think of a lot more material that's more exciting than the Bible, to be honest with you. Unless the God of the universe is talking to you. Then it changes everything. He speaks, and I'll share something here later at the end of the message. In this passage of Scripture where God spoke to me. I was studying. I literally had something happen in the morning and it wasn't pleasant. And literally like an hour later, I went back to studying for this message and there was a passage and God said, we got it ironed out? I said, yeah. And God said, okay, we're sorted now. I was like, man, I had so many wrinkles going on and God just smoothed them right out. What about this? Select a good time, a specific time. We call it the quiet time, but if you're going to continue in His Word to be His disciple, it's not just sitting getting in the Bible, it's letting it absorb into you, and then we live this thing out, right? That's what disciples do. So select a specific time. Now listen, you ain't going to beat the morning. And some, you can argue with me all day long if you want about this. You don't know what time I get up. You're right, I don't know what time you get up. And pick the best time that's where you're at your best. You know, but if you look in the Bible about the morning, get clean in the morning. Hear from God in the morning before you even step out, you know. Before, sometimes, you know, we live our life. I don't know about you, but especially if you're struggling at work, you go into your life just like, you know, I'd like to kill half these people. Well, you know, it'd be nice if you got in the Word in the morning and God would give you a view on them and say, your attitude needs to change, mister. And then you can adjust. Instead of going to work and getting ticked, coming back saying, okay, God fixed my ticked attitude. And God's like, we could have fixed that at 5 this morning. But instead, you went through the day wondering why you have language issues and your anger problems. So I just want you to know, look up early, look up morning in the Bible. You'll see that's the biggest chunk of times. But listen, I do want to say this. I'm not a legalist. Be at your best. That's the point. And if it's late at night for you, then you meet with Him late at night and expect God to speak to you. Because you're going to live that out, right? We're going to continue in His Word. That's what disciples do. So choose a specific time, but then choose a specific place. You got to have a place. Don't casually just read the Bible. You know, oh, I didn't do my reading this morning. I'll just grab my phone while I sit on the toilet. That's nice and respectful, you know. Hey, Lord, sorry. You know, hey, Becky, I need to talk to you for a minute. Becky's like, we can talk when you get out of there. I'm not coming in there and talking. No, seriously. I need to say something to you. Well, you can say it from outside this door, man. I am not coming in there. While you're... Yeah, you wouldn't do that to somebody you loved, would you? Don't do it to the Lord. Don't do it to the Lord. Just give him some specific time and a specific place. I read a book one time about this, and it was called Two Chairs. And it was written by a football coach that he had a hard time. You can't see the Lord, and he'd get in a word. He used to grab a chair. He'd sit in a rocking chair, and he grabbed a dining room chair, and he always sat it there. Even when he prayed, he didn't close his eyes. I just looked at the chair, and I'm like, man, Lord, you got to listen to me. I'm really struggling with this here, you know. And he'd let the Lord speak to him. He'd read the Bible, you know. But the book was just called Two Chairs. It was a nice little book, and I liked the principle behind it. Hey, find a time and find a place where there's a chair, where you can look and sit with the Lord and spend time with him there. Because disciples get in the Word, and we continue in the Word. You got to follow a simple plan. Hey, guys, if you ever get into fitness, any kind of fitness at all, you know how it's so important to schedule that out. People that really get into it, you know what they'll do? If they're best in the morning, then people, they'll even the night before set out the workout clothes. Or you do protein shakes or got a special thing you got to eat in the morning, they'll prepare that. And they'll put them right in their fridge. Or they're ready to go. That way they can just go and it's just prepared for them. You have a certain place, a certain time. You might even have a routine. Like certain days you work this muscle, certain days. I don't know what that is, but people that are real serious and that are usually pretty lean, they don't casually just be like, I might work out when I get home if I feel like it. No, that's off the table. It's no choice for me. And it's maybe not even physically. Sometimes it's mental. If I don't work out, I become crazy. There's proof to all that stuff. But my point is, if you want to take that serious, just like your relationship with the Lord, follow specific time, specific place where you meet with the Lord. Be consistent about that. Be consistent. And then just simply follow a plan. And that's why our church, right now we're reading one chapter a day. It's so simple and so easy. I'm not saying that's enough, but it is a good start. It's a good start. Relax, man. Do you have any requests? Sit down with a notebook and write it out. Sometimes you can see in my Bible, man, I write my Bible. Even if I have a question, sometimes I'll just write it to him. And I let the Lord speak to me. So I just wanted to give you some practical tidbits there on this. And some of you are bored out of your minds. Then vary your plan a little bit. Vary your time. Well, I'm just not awake enough. Then you go out in the morning and you do one walk around the block. Yeah, but it's snowing out. And? You ever see a farmer get behind? There's a little bit of light dust and snow on the ground. And you can see him out in the fields running that combine. I'm just like, well, he got behind, didn't he? No excuse. Then he'll plow in the snow. He'll work in the snow if he has to. Go out there. Wake yourself up. Get down on the ground. Do yourself 20 push-ups. Do yourself a few sit-ups. Do some air squats, you know. And all of a sudden you're like, whew, blood's pumping now. Yeah, and spend some time with the Lord. Be at your best. So just remember that. Disciples continue in his word, right? And not just get in the word. It absorbs into our life and we take it with us all day long. You know, the movies we watch really affect us. They do. And I used to say there's certain movies I will not watch. If they're just that filthy, I can't fill my mind with that, right? But there's some movies I'm like, well, cussing don't bother me. I don't even have a problem with it, to be honest. And so then all of a sudden you watch a couple of these movies back. And some of them, it might even be a war movie or something. Is it funny how that stuff will stick to you, you know? And you know, and all of a sudden it becomes a normal. And all of a sudden it's okay. And then you don't even hear it. You don't even like hear it anymore. It's true. And I'm telling you, if you get in God's word every day, continue here. If you continue here, I'm just telling you, it'll light your world on fire. Hey, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my word. That's what he says. Spend time with Jesus. Somebody right now want to testify? I am going to straighten that up. I'm straightening my time with the Lord up. I've been terrible at this. I come to this church and then I'm just too busy. My day starts off, I'm too busy. Then I come home, then there's dinner to fix. I got to take a kid to practice over here. There's loads of laundry to do. Our house is filthy. And oh my gosh, and we got something Tuesday. I don't know what to do. And by the time it's all said and done, you're exhausted and you've never spent any time with the Lord. You know what that tells me? You're not following him. You got to make it a priority. You got to hit the brakes. You know, you never change your oil when you're driving your car. You got to shut the engine down, man. Your car is meant to shut that thing down. Put it down to an idle. Anybody working on a car, you know, they shut that thing down. And I've reached in there before. I'm like, man, I wonder what that is. You know, I've got to fix something. I'm not real mechanical. You know, I reach in there. I'm like, ow, it's hot. Let it cool down, dude. before you stick your fingers down in there. But yeah, there's simple things, but in life we won't do that. Slow your life down. Stop it. Schedule a little bit of time. And guys, have you ever just set your stopwatch and go, I'm sitting quiet for 5 minutes. Ding. Maybe I'm going to pray. I'm just going to sit. Maybe I'm anxious. I'm fired up about something. I'm like, my gosh, how long has it been? 1 minute. Good night. I'm here to tell you guys, don't rule out even 15 good minutes with the Lord. It's longer than you think. The goal is to take it with you, right? I want to show you here in John chapter 8. By the way, I'm going to confess something, that the book of John's got some great stories in it, but when you try to outline the book of John, it is a nightmare, man. Like, it is. That sounds terrible, don't it? God's word's a nightmare. No, I'm telling you, the work is hard. It don't break up real super easy like you would think. So I like how he kind of bookends this chapter, because he says in verse 31, you know, those that believe in him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciple. Stop being just fans of Jesus, but follow him. There's the difference maker right there. Well, then down in verse 55, he says, you know, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. Jesus is speaking of God. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Do you see that? I keep his saying. So Jesus himself is testifying that I have a relationship. I know God. He testifies earlier, he's my Father. And I keep his sayings. We read it up at the beginning of our passage today. He said, if you're my disciple, you'll continue in my word. Jesus says, I know him and I keep his saying. He's a keeper. You know, to be a keeper of a property is like you're a guard, man. You take care of what he said, right? You attend to that. This word's translated in the Bible, watched. So you know what this tells me? Jesus set an example, says, yeah, I know him, and I keep his saying. Jesus is setting the example for us. Watching. I watch it, right? I observe it. That's translated several times, observe, in the Bible. That same word translated into observe. Even the word reserve. To reserve a time, reserve a place. That's what I do. What did he say in the book of Mark? And Jesus Christ, rising a great while before day, departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He had a place of solitude where he went. So hold fast. That's what we do. Hold fast. That's what Jesus is saying. Is, man, I know him, and I keep his sayings. Man, let's me and you be keepers of the word, man. That's what we're called to do. To be a disciple or a follower of Christ is really, I keep his sayings. Don't just say, I read 2 chapters of the Bible. No, live the Bible. Do what it says. That's what disciples do. Take heed to it. Observe it. Watch it. Mark it down. And guess what? It's real. It can be measured. It can be measured what God showed you. And sometimes God's going to show you something that you need to do. And you mark that thing down. Lay your head on your pillow at night and go, man, I didn't get that done. What are you going to do? You're a failure. Go to sleep a failure. Or you can wake up in the morning and say, God, today's the day. This has got to change. And I actually changed my planning. I used to be a digital planner like everybody else. I got away from it because I was losing things. On my calendar, when I used to have something to do, if I didn't get it done, it would just forward to the next day. And so before you know it, your to-do list is like 27 things long. I'm like, well, I've messed up somewhere here, didn't I? Yes. So when I went back to paper, what makes me do is every day I start off, I look at the day before and go, oh, I didn't get that done. And I have to forward it, flip the page, and write it in again. It's painful. I'm not lying. It's more painful. And I got to look at it. And some things I'm just like, wait a minute. Somebody else can do that. And I'll literally make a text and say, hey, could you handle this? And he'll say, no problem. I'm like, done. I didn't even have to do it. But I'm just telling you, it helps me. And I think we need to do this in our relationship with the Lord. Get in God's word. What is he saying to you lately? What is God saying to you? I got an email this week. It wasn't really a nasty email, but it surely wasn't a pleasant one. And I didn't know how to respond. Because you know when somebody gives you something nasty, some nasty words or something that's not super good, my immediate reaction is the humanness in me. I am going to justify my behavior and I will prove that I am right. Right? We all want to be right. That's why everybody wins an argument, right? Because you're right. You know, and very few people will be humble and say, dude, I'm sorry. You corrected me. You're right on that. Very few people will do that, you know. And so I'm human, man. It's in me, man. And so check this. I want to show you a verse down here as I was meditating on this passage this week and studying what these words mean. John chapter 8. I don't know how I lost my bookmarks here, but I did. John chapter 8. And look down at verse 54. Guys, I literally was getting ready to bust this email out, and I was getting ready to actually add some people to it so they could see what's going on here too, just to prove to everybody that guess what? I am correct. I am right. You know, that's me. I was going to, and all of a sudden I got to verse 54, and Jesus answered and said, you know, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. You religious leaders saying he's your God. But I'm here to tell you, you don't know. He's working this whole thing with them. But man, that little passage of scripture right there, where he says, if I honor myself, it's nothing. But my Father can honor me. I didn't even have to send an email. I didn't have to. I was like, God, you're going to have to take care of business here. It's not my job to sit around and defend myself and to make myself a little good just so I can be called a winner, you know. I don't know. You read the Bible and you find out Jesus seems to be more for losers. I guess I'll lose on this deal, right? Yeah, it might appear that I'm losing. They're probably sitting back saying, yeah, he don't know even what to say, man, because I put him in his place. I guess that's on him. I don't care what they say. It don't matter. My Father's going to honor me. And I'm thankful God shared that verse. And I'm here to tell you guys, if you get in God's word, God will straighten your attitude, straighten your to-do list out, tell you what to do, how to handle situations. We don't expect it. But I'm here to tell you, disciples, continue in his word. Jesus said, you know what I do? I keep his sayings. I'm an observer and a keeper of that book. And I observe and keep it, observe and keep it. And then all of a sudden God will lay it out. And I'm like, my gosh, that's gold. I could have never came up with that on my own. You're right. But what I'm doing now is I'm partaking wisdom. And now I can speak wisdom. People are like, man, you're so wise. Not really. I was born a sinner. I was a knucklehead. I've been rescued and I got a hero in my life. And anything smart that ever comes out of my mouth, I promise you something. It's from my Father. Father. That's a big theme in this chapter too, by the way. Hey, let me give you a few things. I'll jump on this bandwagon here in a second, this the Father thing, because this is kind of really powerful. But I want you to know something. This book, this chapter in this area, five different times he talks about his words. Then he uses the word truth in verse 32, 40, 44, 45, 46. He keeps saying truth, truth, truth. This is his words. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Then in verse 51, in the next four verses, he says, keep my sayings. So he's talking about his word, his truth, and his sayings. Let me just give you, I just want to share a few little tidbits about this with you. This book is God's truth. This book is God's word, right? I didn't have a dream last night. God didn't audibly speak to me, and I'm out here sharing it with you. People do that all the time, and gullible people say, well, what did God say? Don't be that gullible. God's word is here, and I should be sharing this scripture with you. We're in John chapter 8. I'm just sharing observations from God's word. It's his message. It's not supposed to be mine. But check this out. I got a word for you today, and the word is this. And when I'm reading down through this chapter, like let me show you in verse 30. Just everybody look at verse John 8, or look at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed. He spake them. He spoke God's words. Look at verse 40. And now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. The truth was told unto these religious leaders. Truth must be told. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Truth's hard to deal with. She said, I'm telling you the truth. And then verse 46 says, which of you can convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, you're going to find a lot of these passages with the truth or God's word, it makes it pretty clear that they need spoken. You know why we're here this morning? Because we need preaching. You know what preaching is? God's word proclaimed. Spoken. I mean, we get into it. I get into it every day. But I also need, and I got pastors I listen to even on the internet. I'm like, oh man, I need it. I'll listen to God's word while I'm doing something. I just want it. God's word spoken. It's very powerful. You know how God chose to save people? He said in Corinthians, he chose preaching to save those which are lost. God's word spoken. Guys, truth is powerful. So I just want you to mark this down. God's word must be spoken. It's our deep responsibility as Christians in our culture to speak God's truth. Half the things that go on that are crazy that we complain about, you know why they're happening? Because somebody spoke, and it was lies and it's ridiculousness. But if enough people speak it and talk about it, people believe it. And that's why our culture's really, really sadly messed up. And you'll see it, and it's like, my gosh, do they really believe that? They do believe it. That's how, if you look how communism really took over at one point back in history, they flooded newspapers and radios, and they would fly to even third world countries and literally drop propaganda and publications and little cards and just indoctrinate people with it, and people bought into it. They believed it. And of course now it's not what it used to be. It's actually just kind of under a little bit of a different name now. It still exists out there. But Jesus makes it pretty clear, you know, God's word needs spoken. Like, some of you have been done wrong. Or some of you would look at somebody else and say, my gosh, this is not right. Or even your children. Well, guys, listen. If it's the truth, if the Bible's a book of truth, it's your responsibility to speak that truth. God's word needs proclaimed. So just mark this down. We have a great responsibility in our culture to speak truth. I love it. Our public library here several years ago, and they put up a little display, and the display was on, you know, like same-sex parents, those type of things, you know, those issues that seem to be getting a little bit louder out there, LGBTQ things, and you know what, I love it, because it was a lady in this church that went in there and just said, what is this? And she goes, well, we got a lot of new books on this, we just want to make it available to people. And she goes, well, I'm not for this. I don't think we need to indoctrinate little children with this type of thinking. Adults can believe what they want to. And before you know it, there was a little argument there. And she says, okay. She goes, listen, I mean, it's your library. And it's a public library. But I'm just voicing my opinion. I'm allowed to do that. So just remember, Easter's coming. And if I have to, I can purchase books. Because I want Jesus Christ and his resurrection to be in. Don't turn me down because you're somebody else. And started making a stink. Remember, Christmas time is coming. You can have Rudolph the Red and Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman all you want. But Jesus Christ, born in a manger, will be here. And I will voice it. They took the display down. Which I don't know if that was a win or not. Maybe a win would have been, keep it up. And we'll just bring Jesus to the forefront. You know, when it's our time. I don't know. But what I like about it is the truth was spoken. But let me give this to you. This is you got to back it up with this. God's word needs to be spoken. It needs to be preached. It needs to be proclaimed. Do you guys remember here 2 years ago when I did a whole series on mental health in the Bible? Didn't go so well. We had people leave our church over it. Man, I messed up. I should have never preached on that. It could have just stayed. Well, it's so big right now in our world and in our culture. For me not to preach God's word into that is pretty messy. So ready? Here's the second thing to buffer this with. Truth doesn't change. Some will believe and some will not. But it's still truth and it still needs spoken. Believe that. That's why here in this passage in verse 30 it says, and Jesus spoke to those Jews which believed on him. Yeah, he spoke to them. They believed on him. That's great, isn't it? But then you get down to verse 45, and what's it say? And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I'm telling you the truth and you don't want the truth. The very truth that can set you free, you don't want to believe it. Hey, truth's hard to deal with. Believe me, when my doctor first told me I was a diabetic, I was like, well, you know, you need this medicine, you need this. And I'll tell you, I got ironed out. Once I got ironed out, I was on my own again. And I just learned to live this way for so long. I'm not lying. I've been dealing with this for years. You know why? Because the truth is hard to look at, man. Why don't some of you step on the scale? Because it tells you the truth. It's actually your friend. To be honest with, I've never weighed this much. Hey, you're on the road to recovery. It's true. You've never weighed that much. Nobody said you're a loser. Or if you are a loser, you're just now a fatter loser. I don't know. You're the biggest loser, you know. But we don't like that, do we? I bought this watch one time. It was a fitness watch. It didn't have no face on it. It was expensive. I put it on. It says, now get down to your, you know, skivvies, you know. So I get down to my skivvies, and Becky's like, Mike, get in the house. I was like, I'm just kidding. I seriously had to get down to my underbritches and get in front of a big mirror, and it made me stand there and take a picture. Psh! Then I turned, so I, psh! Then I took a few more, like I was like, you know. And then it created this character of me and told me, like, okay, here's some areas and what it should look like. I had to enter my weight, my height, and all that stuff. And I'm telling you what, I'm just like, it took me about 10 minutes to go, I hate this flipping watch. What in the world? And then, you know, you ask your family, do I look like this? And you can tell they don't want to tell you yes. You know, are you for real? I look down, I got ketchup on my shirt. Disgusting, isn't it? Well, truth can be disgusting unless you just believe it. Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you today, some of you got some awful problems in your life. Everybody else sees it but you. You just got to accept the truth, man. Because that's when the change can happen. So listen, don't just be a fan of Jesus and a fan of church. Just don't come this morning for everybody to just say, oh, you're good. And some of you would say, man, I was on the road, I was doing well, now my diet's terrible. Well, guess what? Sunday's the first day of the week. You can't get last week past. Did you jack up? A lot of people messed up. That's what I love about Christianity. Like, it's a relationship of grace. And love and truth, and it's what's beautiful about marriage. And you've been married as long as I have. I can look at this woman, and she can look at me. There's times I'm like, man, can you believe how I've become this, or I'm this, or I'm fat this way, fat. I'll just mention things, and sometimes Becca will be like, no. She's like, I don't look at that. I'm like, well, you're not blind. Jeez. Well, you know what it is? It's love. It's a relationship. We both got flaws, and we love each other through those flaws. And when they need repaired, we can work through that too. But it don't matter. I'm hers and she's mine. And I just want you to know your relationship with Jesus is very similar to this. It's a relationship based upon truth. And you must keep his sayings and continue in his word. Church, if I could tell you anything, I don't care if you ever come back here again. Get in this book every day. Let it saturate your mind and sink down into your heart. If you'll recognize truth. If you ever go to other churches or move around, you'll know. You'll see truth and you'll have a relationship with the Lord. Now, we need the church and all that. I'm here to tell you, but this is the secret. Stop being a fan of Jesus. When people have to say, hey, dude, are you a Christian? Guys, I have met people in public before, males and females. I went up and I just said, hey, you're a Christian, ain't you? Lady goes, yeah, how can you tell? I could tell by the way you talked to that lady at the register. She was a follower of Christ. You could tell by the words out of her mouth. Just following Jesus, keeping the sayings of this book, continuing there. So let's continue. Let's keep his sayings. Remember to speak the truth. Be bold with the truth. You don't have to be obnoxious. But just remember this. Not everybody will believe. I mean, you have a neighbor or somebody that worked that don't believe. Well, this was the truth. You know, just live the truth. Follow Christ. And some of these same people that don't pray or think you're a weirdo, it's amazing. When their mom's going to die, I've had the people come to me and just say, hey, Mike, would you pray for my mom, man? She's probably going to die of cancer this week. I'm like, God's got their attention now because reality has hit them. And now they know, oh, Mike's connected. Yeah, well, hopefully they see I'm following Christ. That's why I can tell people, hey, follow me. Paul said, follow me. Church, follow me as an example. Why? Because I'm awesome? No, no, no. Just because I'm following Christ. That's why Paul says that, because Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. The moment he quits following Christ, dump that. You don't need to follow that, man. That's bad news, right? Right? Right. So here we are. Guys, this chapter is all over the place, just like my points this morning. I'm a little bit all over the place. I get this. Let me show you one thing in closing today. This, and I'll close this chapter. You can read it on your own. Come up with a sweet outline. If you get one, give it to me so I can use it next time, because it's really, really hard here. But I think the main point, I think we got it. This little section started and ended. It's very similar. Like disciples follow him by keeping and continuing in the word. Jesus says, I follow, or I know my Father, and you can tell I know him. Because, hey, and by the way, when people don't know, it's probably because you're not living, you know? It's like there's a certain way to act and live as a Christian, and people can clearly see that. People ain't stupid. Don't be offended by it. You just act as ridiculous as their drunken uncle. You're the same. That's where people are like, oh my gosh, all these Christians are hypocrites. Well, a lot of us are. Because there are some days I don't live what I know I believe. And the Bible says, then do you really believe it? Because we live what we believe. And yeah, then I iron myself out. I get in God's word and he irons me out. I confess and I move on, you know. So check this out. I want to take you to the top. Look at verse 38. Verse 38 says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. So he's telling this religious leaders, like, you guys are looking at me like I'm some wild guy. I'm here to tell you, I'm doing what my Father says. Jesus was sent by God the Father, right? And so he's telling them that. And you do what your Father has told you to do. And, of course, they keep responding back, and they say things like, go to verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Well, Abraham's been dead for years now, but he is their, like, a religious father for them, for the Jews. And Jesus says, you know, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you're not even doing that. Like, guys, I'm correcting you all the time with the law. The very law that you claim to know and follow, I'm correcting you with it. Because you twist it to make it believe what you want it to believe. It's not true. Abraham is not your father. Just because you're of the seed of Abraham, right? And then, go down to verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They're claiming to know God the Father. And Jesus said unto them, verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. See, God's words, the book of truth that was spoken, they wouldn't hear them. They would not believe them. And then it says in verse 44, you ready for this? And it cuts like a knife. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You'll find out here, they eventually accused Jesus of, look at verse 48. They said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Like they're accusing, like, man, you must be possessed with the devil saying stuff like that to us. There's these religious leaders who nobody would ever question them, right? They look just so-so. And they're like, well, Abraham's our father. And he's like, well, you don't do Abraham said. That's not true. You know, it's kind of like, every once in a while you'll see, it's simple, but, there's a black couple. They have a white kid. That ain't their kid. You ever see that? You'll see somebody around town. You'll say, that's a white couple, but they got a child that's obviously from another part of the world. You know, hopefully by living with them, eventually, you know, you can give standards and character and all that, and they can live and be like their dad, even though it wasn't their dad. It's a great picture of adoption, by the way, which is what we get. But he's making a point here to these guys that God is my father and I keep his sayings. You claim that God's your father. You don't do what he says. You're lying to somebody. He says, as a matter of fact, it becomes pretty obvious in verse 44, you're of your father, the devil. So gang, listen to that. Here's some hard words this morning, but it's just true. Spiritually speaking, God is your father, or the devil is your father, spiritually. There's no middle ground there. And I'm not saying, because by the way, these religious leaders are looking to kill Jesus. And he's just, that's why he brings up and says, and the devil was a murderer from the beginning. You guys remember in the garden, Cain and Abel comes in, and yeah, first murder in the Bible, you see it. And so he's letting them know that. And you know why he knows that the devil is their father? Well, the deciding factor is always, if you follow the Lord, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you what? Continue in his words. If you know God, Jesus says, then you keep his saying. If the devil is your father, you continue in his word. If the devil is your father, you keep his saying. The deciding factor here is their actions. Maybe something a little bit more practical. Just say, I've cheated on my spouse. She knows. It's been quiet in our home for a couple weeks. We fought before that anyways. She drove me to do it, honestly. And we got this friction in between us. Then one day something happens, and with her family and her dad's in the hospital, and I come up and I just say, man, Beck, I'm sorry. She looks at me. I'm like, seriously, come here, man. She's crying. I'm like, I love you. I'm really just hurt by her tears. I'm hurt because I know how it feels to lose somebody. I don't love her. My actions proved otherwise. I've loved another. Doesn't it become pretty clear? That's what makes me sick. Couples that love you, love you, love you, love you, everything they do, love you, love you. They got to say that all the time. It's like, are you that desperate here? Like something's wrong, isn't it? You know? But the deciding factor here becomes Matthew 7:20. He tells the religious leaders, he goes, you know how I can tell you guys are false? Because the fruit that hangs from your tree, it's rotten. Don't claim to be an apple tree. And you got a bunch of oranges hanging from your branches. Right? You'll know them by their fruits. You can tell by the leaves on a tree. Well, that's an oak. Why? Well, look at its leaves. Or some of them drop fruits or nuts. And you're like, yeah, I know what kind of tree that is. You can tell by its what? Fruit. And so, gang, I can tell what's on your inside. And be careful of this. I'm not saying judge every little situation that you know. You know what I'm talking about. The point is this. You can tell what's on the inside by what is on the outside. It's clear as a bell. Now, you'd be offended. You'd be terribly offended at Jesus when you say, oh, I love the Lord. Jesus would literally say, I watched what you did yesterday. And that would prove that you don't. Well, I do. And guys, you know how it is. We can live contrary to what we know is true, right? But it's important. We copy our dad. Kids will do it all the time. They'll cuss or do something. It's funny when a three-year-old cusses. But what's funny about it is he's repeating his mom and dad. He learned that from somebody. You know, most likely he learned it at home. So I like this part at the beginning. So the devil's their father because that's the works they do. That's devilish work. That's devilish thinking. That's evil thinking. That's not from God. But you and me who have met Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in him, if we say we believe in him, now it's our deep responsibility to continue in his word. So when I end this message and the word shuts down in John chapter 8, as we walk outside that door, we will continue in this. We will continue thinking, let it saturate our minds, change our behavior. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you're going to strike that book open and get a chair out and have a relationship with him and say, I want to keep your word. God, I'm literally getting ready to lose my crap at work today. I'm getting ready to go off on these people. Could you please change me? And gang, you're going to the right place. He will change you. We've all hit spots in our life where I thought, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it through. And I'll open God's Word. I'm like, God, I'm going to write this email back, and I'm going to send it with a few pictures involved. You know, I can just do some selfies of my hand motions that I'm going to give, you know. And then God's Word just says, you know what? Don't honor yourself. That's not your job. I'll do that. Thank you, Lord. I'm free now. I'm free. I can't explain to you what a relationship with this book will do to your Christian life. So listen, our church is about discipleship. Once somebody meets Jesus Christ, we want you to develop the spiritual disciplines of getting in God's Word. Guys, I can always tell, first question, when somebody's not doing right, they're having problems in their marriage or with their kids, you can just tell by their countenance when they walk in the door. You know the first question I usually ask? Hey man, tell me, how you doing in the Word? Because this is the difference maker. I can see that you're not following Christ in this area of your life. Now you got to be careful with that, because you know what? You know how it is. I'm pointing. It's like a gun. Well, I actually got three fingers pointing back at me. Had an old preacher tell me that. You know, quit pointing at people. Quit doing that, because that's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, man. He's pointing. I was like, oh, I like that, man. That's pretty good. Yeah, just be careful, because you know what? If this is the standard, then I got to live the standard too. And it makes me vulnerable for somebody to say, hey, what about you? I watch what you said or watch what you did. And you know what? Hey, I want my life to line up with this. If somebody can call me on it, I'm just a better man. I have a friend that was a state wrestler. He was a heavyweight state wrestler. This guy was this big around from foot to shoulders. Like he wasn't fat, man. It's kind of like going to Monmouth College. You see the linemen there? They're fat. You're fat. Is lineman supposed to be fat? Well, that's funny. You go down to Western, they're not as fat. They're bigger. Well, that's a different type of play, right? D1 versus D3. I get it. But this big guy shows up to wrestling practice, and I remember the coach, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and the coach goes, you don't practice with us today. Instead, here's what you're going to do. Put him on this course of running. It was actually a hallway, which is like the track. He said, you're going to do this for an hour and a half. He's like, for real? Coach goes, yeah. So he took off. It'd be 10 minutes into practice, and the coach is like, you lazy bum, pick up the pace, man. You know, and he would pick up the pace. You know, at the end of practice, it all ended. He's full of sweat. He's hurting, and the coach made him jump down, do a few push-ups, and then he said, you listen to me. But you know what my buddy said? He said, hey, coach, thanks. Coach's like, thanks. I just whipped your tail tonight. Yeah, man, I'm a heavyweight wrestler, man. I struggle with my weight anyways. He goes, man, you're making me bigger, stronger. My cardio's getting better. Like, the coach is like, I wanted this guy to suffer. But you know what was nice is he took it. I mean, I'll tell you guys, when we take truth from God and His Word, and we just say, God, He made it clear, keep my saying. He said it three times, keep my saying. No matter what people think, no matter how I feel, keep this book. That's what Christians do. When the culture pushes, guess what? We stand. I know what the truth says. I don't have to believe horse crap just because everybody does. You know? I learned a long time ago, if 1,000 people believe a foolish thing, it's still foolish. If 1,000,000 people believe a foolish thing, it's still a foolish thing. I'm going to stand on the truth. I'm going to walk with the Lord. So let's bow our heads right now. And listen, I hope you know the Lord. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Is He your Father? You know how the Bible says God becomes your Father? John 1:12 says you need to receive Christ. If you receive Christ, it says you will become a son of God. So if there's anybody in this room that you would say, I am not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I've ever met Jesus Christ. I would love to have somebody open the Bible and show you how that's done. Don't take my word for it. I want you to take God's word for it. Is there anybody in this room? And while we're all got our heads bowed, we're kind of praying. What you need to do is get my attention. Just like raise your hand, shake it at me or something. We're praying. Everybody's got their head bowed, eye closed. What I'm going to do to you is I'm going to find somebody that would open God's Word, and they'll show you. They'll simply show you what the Bible says. That's what you want. You want to be a Christian the way the Bible says it's done, not by what some church or denomination or no. I want God's opinion is the only one that matters. So I want you to get it from Him. Is there anybody in this room saying, that's me. I want to know Christ. I'm not sure. Even if you're doubting, we can iron that out. Anybody? Shake it, man. Somebody to sit with you, open God's word, and strike the truth, man. And then you can make a choice if you're going to believe it and do what it says. It's your choice. Free will, right? Anybody? Okay, Christian, what did you get out of today? What is something you can take away today? Maybe it's that you know the truth needs spoken and you're not doing it. You're avoiding issues. There's an issue with somebody or somebody at work and it's the truth and you're like, oh, I'm just going to cause problems. Well, guess what? It don't mean you'll cause problems. Truth is truth whether people believe it or not. You might get rejected, but guess what? You might also rescue somebody. So be that difference maker. Speak the truth. Maybe you're like me and I told you what the passage I seen here was like, my gosh, I'm wanting to exalt myself. And the Father said, that's my job to honor you, not your own. Some of you, it might be the quiet time. You've gotten away from getting in the Bible consistently. Hey, get back on track today. Today. Leave church, go eat some lunch. Hey, Sunday's a good day to take a nap. You know, before you take a nap, make a commitment to the Lord. Create a little plan. Get on the church's app and read with us. We're reading through the Gospels right up through Christmas, one chapter a day. Do what you got to do. Come up with a plan, right? Continue in His Word. And some of you have stopped being obedient to the Word. God's Word is simple, and what it says, it needs to be obeyed, guys, or it doesn't mean anything, right? So quit being so religious. The point of today's message was quit being a fan of Jesus. It's time we really start following. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, I desperately needed it. Lord, we need it. We are your people. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the Maple City Baptist Church. I'm thankful just for what you've done. I'm thankful that we were able to sing together today to lift you up. Lord, I pray for all of us as we leave this room that we would quit our shenanigans, quit fooling ourselves. We would just face the truth. And Lord, some of us have quit growing. And it's time we keep your sayings. It's time we live in a different place. I pray that we would be a people that would continue in your word. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.